Thank you to the Top Rope Chef Patreon supporters, Haley K, Claire G, and Nicholas Haynes of the Sketchy Nonsense Podcast. If you want to help support the show, the best way to do it is through a monthly donation at patreon.com/topropechef. It's as easy as signing up with your email address and either a credit or debit card and your PayPal. Thanks. We're cooking up some recipes, gonna give them a spin. If you're messing with Top Rope Chefs, you can never win. Woo! We'll be leaving you in the kitchen, wishing you were beaten, battered, and fried. And we'll be cooking up some main dishes, desserts, and yummy things on the side. Can you take the heat? 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 Welcome to the greatest wrestling and food podcast, Top Rope Chef. We are cooking through every recipe in WWE's cookbook written by Jim Ross. Can you take the heat today? We are eating gumbo and beef jerky. My name is Bradley Catmandu Jones, with me as always.
Jacqueline Jerky Boy Maynard.
Heck yeah, Jerky Boy. Classic 90s reference.
Classic. Fits to a T. So I made the jerky today.
Yeah, there you go.
And I am a jerk.
Oh. Let's just start off with all the bad news that's happened. There were a lot of deaths in wrestling the week of the recording of the podcast.
Yeah, you walked in and said, we have to talk about three dead wrestlers. And I said, no, we have to talk about four dead wrestlers.
Oh, another one died on the way to the podcast studio, I guess.
Awful. Awful.
Let's start out with the nicest one, Nikolai Volkov.
Well, should we start out with that or should we start out drinking?
You want to get to the drinks first? I like that.
Yeah. I like drinking.
Start drinking, and then we can drink to these
we need the harder.
Poor dead wrestlers.
Yeah, we're both drinking the harder stuff today. We are drinking Red Velvet Cupcake wine. It is not flavored like Red Velvet Cupcakes.
We got a brand on that, Jacqueline?
The brand is Cupcake.
What?
Yeah. Red Velvet is the flavor?
Go buy me some cupcakes, and then you have to come back home with wine? That's confusing.
That's a way better deal.
You should come back with both if you're doing it right.
That's true. Well, we might later. This is... Red Velvet is made up of grapes from some of the finest vineyards in California. This wine shows a heady nose of chocolate, deep rich blackberries, red fruits, and a creamy mocha finish that is unmistakable. That is unmistakable in its intensity and length. It is reminiscent of a blackberry chocolate cupcake with mocha colace.
Smells a lot like just red wine to me.
Enjoy with a sweet and spicy hosen steak, which is in the marinade. Ooh. That I did for that jerky, a barbecue bacon cheeseburger. I wish we had that. Or whoa, even dark chocolate fondue.
Wine and cheeseburgers is something I've never partaken in.
Me either, but I have some ideas now. All right. Cheers to sadness.
Doesn't taste how it smells. Is this our first podcast wine?
Yeah, I think so. No, because...
Did I have something or did you have something?
No, you had cider that had rosé in it, but you thought it was rose.
Because I'm bad at reading. Tastes like red wine to me. I wish it tasted more like cupcakes.
We should do more wine tastings.
Yeah, but...
I want to be like Nikki Bella.
I want them to taste like the thing that they claim to taste like. I think I may have gotten... I don't think we drank it on the podcast, but last time I was here, I did bring... like a cherry fire wine or something like that we had. Talked about it. It had like a hot rod flame on it. It was like a, I think it was a Traverse City wine. Maybe we drank it on the podcast. I literally can't remember a month ago of anything in my life. So
no, neither can I.
That's a problem.
I barely remember you were here. But I can taste the blackberry and chocolate in this.
I don't taste the chocolate. Let me get another taste in there.
It's like tap your mouth together and like breathe at the same time. You get like a chocolate
I don't know how to properly drink wine, maybe.
I don't either. I'm just making this up. I've seen people make weird faces.
Yeah, I know they make, like, weird mouth noises.
And you, like, swish it around, things. But I don't want to stain my teeth.
Yeah, then you spit it out like an animal.
Like an asshole. Just drink the wine. Somebody worked hard on this. Probably, this was not expensive wine. So, somebody probably didn't work that hard.
I hope when I get older I can appreciate wine. But right now, in my young youth.
I know you're supposed to look at it, like, up to the light.
Yeah, they look through it and see if there's any...
This is great radio.
And then you spin it. You do the little spin thing.
Yeah,
I've seen Sideways. I know what's going on.
To aerate it. Oh, yeah. I know the trick, listeners. The trick for making cheap wine taste like expensive wine is you get cheap wine and you put it in a blender so it aerates it, and then it tastes like a couple shelves up.
Hard in a blender. Watch me spin around to a beautiful oblivion as we get on. With the sadness of these three wrestlers, Nikolai Volkoff, I already said his name. He was a wrestler in the 70s and the 80s. He feuded with Hulk Hogan. And if you were a wrestler who feuded with Hulk Hogan, you were kind of awesome.
Top of your game.
Yeah. They don't just give you anybody.
No, he refused to fight a lot of people, too.
And it was a time the Cold War was happening, or we'd just gotten out of it. And wrestling wasn't afraid to use stereotypes.
I don't think they've ever been. Oh, Cold War not.
Particularly here. Like, I don't think they would go to the extent that they did, where they would, like, dress up a white guy and make him look Russian or European or something, but maybe.
I mean what about
Jinder Mahal is from, I think, Canada, and he's, like, but he is Indian, but he's, like, claims to be from Indiana, which he is not.
Right.
But there's a guy named Nikita Koloff, who was just, like, a white guy from, like, a suburbs, who they dressed up to be like an evil Russian.
Yeah.
He's just this really nice white guy.
What's the guy right now who walks... he's married to Lana.
Rusev.
Rusev.
He is Bulgarian, though. That's not a bit.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fair. I should have known if I was paying attention to her storyline in Total Divas.
Lana is not from Bulgaria, even though she speaks with an accent.
She's also not.
That's a put on. Yeah, he was 70 when he passed away recently. He got into the Hall of Fame in 2005, I think. People hated him for a long time. He'd come out and sing the Russian national anthem.
Yeah, that was which so just great.
Infuriated crowds.
That was awesome.
Later in his career, he turned good, joined Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and then sang the American national anthem. People
and
got on his side and loved him.
Wild.
And he has like a fun story, and he was always just like a nice guy, and everyone liked him. Nothing bad to say about Nikolai Volkoff.
Not one word. I love him.
Mm-hmm. There was a guy in an independent circuit named Brickhouse Brown. I don't know anything about this guy, except a story where he died and came back from the dead.
This is not a wrestling, like, WWE universe. This is what happened in real life.
Yeah, so he was declared dead. He had flatlined. And then he later came back to life.
The next day or later that
And he
night.
Just claimed to be hungry. He like turned to the person he was sitting with.
His
was like
mother.
Sitting with them.
His mother watched him die twice. And drink.
Claimed to have had an out-of-body experience. He went to the ceiling and saw people talk. He heard people talking and saw the room around him. That's just insane to me, Jacqueline. Is it real?
No.
You don't believe in out-of-body experiences?
Not at all.
You don't think your soul elevates into the sky when you die?
I don't think we have souls.
Oh my gosh. You heard it here first. Hot take. Jacqueline Maynard, not a believer in souls.
I'll fight ya.
And then he died 6 days later. Maybe a final destination. He couldn't get out of it.
Prostate cancer that poisoned his brain.
Hmm. Bummer. And the real
kind of literally.
And the real bad one, Brian Christopher, a.k.a. Grandmaster Sex A.
Who we ripped a new one pretty recently.
He's had recipes in this book, and he still has one more to go.
Oh, God.
He's got a sweet potato casserole we haven't made.
Oh, why? I don't want to do it.
Also son of one of the wrestlers we're talking about, Jerry Lawler.
Today of all days. So you have to have, like, good behavior.
Jacqueline's about to pour herself another drink there.
I am. What am I going to say? I can't make fun of him. He had the douchiest character, and I can't make fun of him.
I liked Grandmaster Sex A and Scotty Too Hottie. They were fun.
They were, you can still
He was the funny. Worst one because he didn't do the worm. But other than that, he was fine.
You're just saying that because he's dead.
I'm saying that because I was a kid in the late 90s and saw these two fun, happy bros hang out, have a good time, wear stupid hats and sunglasses, and get paid a bunch of money to fake fight other people.
Didn't they have their underpants pulled way up out of their actual pants?
I don't think you would know about the fashion choices of Too Cool more than I would.
I think they did, and I think they were always animal print, like leopard and tiger and zebra.
Oh, my.
Never giraffe. Giraffe's never a popular choice.
People would get confused if they saw a giraffe. It'd be like a cheetah print.
No, a giraffe is like big
It's distinct,
block.
But...
One of our listeners is an avid giraffe fan, so...
Giraffe... Oh, just not of the clothing print, though.
Well, probably that, too.
You think that fan likes the giraffe clothing line? Wears giraffe print things?
I think she likes giraffe everything. I know she likes giraffe everything.
I don't know what that means, because maybe she's eating one. That could be strange.
I don't. Don't eat giraffe, folks.
Well, let's get into some recipes and some peoples, now that we've spent all the first 10 minutes of this podcast being melancholy.
Yeah.
Melancholy? Melancholy.
Melancholy.
Melancholy's the
You're
band.
Brie Bella today.
Because she screws up words.
Yeah.
Let's get into the cat. We're She's got a homemade beef jerky that we're going to be talking about in a minute.
That pairs well with this wine.
Heck yeah.
We were going to eat it on air, but it sounds disgusting. It is gross to eat beef jerky.
It's chewy.
Yeah.
And I don't own a dehydrator. And I can't dehydrator. So I came up here where Jacqueline has one, and then she was good enough to make this recipe.
I did. I got up at 11:30 p.m. last night to make this recipe.
You gotta set it and forget it. That's the beauty of the dehydrator.
Dusty Rhodes also dead, folks.
Where did that come from?
Isn't that who you're doing? Isn't that the impression?
No, I'm just saying like a... It's more like a Foghorn Leghorn, I think, than Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes would be more like this, baby.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Dehydrator, baby girl.
Aw, I'm so sad. Let's make fun of this lady.
Oh, the cat. She just was, you know, not right place, wrong time. Yeah, she's not a wrestler. She's more of just a lady who agreed to get nude on camera for the WWE.
So much, like full tit flash.
I didn't see any of the videos. Did you go that far to watch any videos, Jacqueline?
No, because I misunderstood what dresses we were doing today. No, I just read it real quick on Wikipedia, though.
She's one of them girls with probably fake boobs, but they're still, I don't know.
I don't know that those are fake. They might just be nice.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the videotape to know. But she got involved with Jerry Lawler. Ugh. 1989. She was 19.
No, she was 18. She was not yet 19.
Oh, boy. That was worded in a way to make it sound better,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was.
On Wikipedia, it says 2 years to being 19, or 2 weeks to being 19.
We cannot tag Jerry Lawler in this episode. We can't.
He's admitted to it. I'm sure that's water under the bridge.
I was not super nice about his son earlier, though.
And you're going to be super not nice about his wife now, former Mrs. Lawler?
They didn't even last a year, I thought.
2000 to 2001, they were married. They probably dated before that, though. I don't think she ever had a dream to be a wrestler. It was just kind of something she fell into because...
She fell into
Jerry
Lawler's Jerry
Lawler,
lap.
Hello! Booyaka! And she had won the women's championship, though.
But that was before it meant anything.
Yeah.
This
wig's kind of insane on her.
She wore a lot of wigs. She is known for, those are some drawn-on eyebrows, too. Her eyebrows are non-existent in real life. She did the match where you rip off the other one's pants, exposing their thong.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Braun panty match.
Yes. She also did evening gown match, which is when you rip the other woman's evening gown off. And then she did a match where you wrestle in chocolate pudding in a thong. And then she did a match. It was a swimsuit competition, which wasn't even a match. It was just judging who looks best in a swimsuit. And her swimsuit was made out of the poppy stuff.
Bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap. Yep. And then she different got the time. Women's title.
It was a different time where women use their sexuality unabashedly to get ahead and to entice men, and it was a different time.
I've been watching...
Sexism wasn't as prevalent in the way that it is, or I'm going to try to think about how to word this. It's not like we're more prudish now, but it just wasn't... You could get away with way more things before Janet Jackson's boob came out in the Super Bowl.
But that's what I don't understand, because both her boobs came out twice.
On pay-per-view.
Oh.
It wasn't on, like, Raw or anything. You had to pay for that content, so it went by the rating system. It skirted the rating system.
I've just been watching a lot of women's wrestling now when they're actual superstars and they're actually athletic. And this is so different to watch these going back. It's sad.
But the lady made some money, flashed her boobs, married Jerry Lawler for a year.
She gave Terry Runnels a stink face, which is when you rub your thong butt in her face. I don't want to say any of this into the
Yeah, I don't have much else to say about the cat, except that puppies and kitties at the time meant boobs and vaginas, and that's why she's probably called the cat.
Wait, but which is which?
Puppies are boobs.
Puppies are boobs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh.
Pussycat.
Okay.
What's new, pussycat? that's what I was going to say. I was going to go into that Tom Jones song.
we could just play it in the background the whole episode. The whole time we're talking about it.
Pretty sure we'd get copy struck. Tom Jones is probably very litigious. Well, since you made this recipe, Jacqueline, go ahead and hit me up with what the heck happened in it.
All right. The cat's homemade beef jerky. She's a country girl who's been making homemade jerky since she was a pup. But she's known to millions of fans as Miss Kitty and simply the Cat. To those of us who know her well, she's the significant other of Jerry the King Lawler.
Felt confident enough to put that in the type that relationship was going to last.
Yeah. Yeah. In 1 year. This whole cookbook was made in 1 year. A true Southern belle, Stacy Carter is a hairstylist by trade and can often be found on the beautiful beaches of Sanibel searching for shells. They make her sound like a child. This is so upsetting.
Yeah,
a little girl who
she
wants
was 30
to be
at the time of this book being written.
Really?
1970 was her date. We looked that up before we started.
Yeah. She looks great for 30. I'll give her that. So the ingredients are 1 pound of lean beef, such as flank steak or brisket, 2 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce,
You said it right that time.
Did I not say it right before?
You were just afraid to say it all the other times.
I'm confident.
You're hesitant.
I'm confident with all that women's wrestling.
And the wine.
Yeah. half cup of original Allegro marinade. 2 tablespoons of A1 steak sauce, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic salt, 1/2 teaspoon of onion salt, salt to taste, and freshly ground black pepper to taste. Step 1, trim the fat from the beef and cut the meat with the grain into long, thin pieces. Step 2, combine the Worcestershire sauce, Allegro, A1, and soy sauce in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. Step 3, sprinkle garlic salt, onion salt, salt, and pepper on both sides of the steak. Step 4, place the beef strips into the bag and shake to coat them well. Place the bag in the refrigerator for 2 hours. Step 5, take the strips from the bag and put them in the dehydrator for 11 to 12 hours. Makes 1 pound. Note, the longer the beef is dehydrated, the crispier the jerky will be. For a juicier and more tender beef jerky, dehydrate for only 10 hours. If you take 1 pound of beef and you dehydrate it, it does not mean you have 1 pound of beef jerky left over. It means you have like 0.4 pounds. That math is not right. It's all the water is gone. So what did I do differently here?
I would guess you used tamari instead of soy.
Tamari instead of soy.
I guess you probably didn't use Allegro marinade.
I did not use Allegro. I used Mongolian sauce marinade, which I'm going to highly recommend. I didn't use any A1 steak sauce. I just used that much Worcestershire sauce. Garlic salt I used, but I used more than half a teaspoon. I could not find such a thing as onion salt in any of the stores around me, so I just used dehydrated onion, like powder.
I've had that problem before, finding onion salt.
Yeah, I've never seen it before. It says half a teaspoon of onion salt, but I did like a quarter to a third of a cup of onion powder. Like, it was a lot. But that's why it was so good.
Did you do the Ziploc bag, just let it sit for 2 hour thing?
I did. I didn't rub any of the spices into the steak. I just put everything except for the beef in a Ziploc bag, and then I put the beef in, and then I just, like, mooshed it.
Mmm.
This is a good sound, right?
Yeah.
And then I let it sit for 2 hours. And then I popped it in the dehydrator, went to work, came home, it was 12 hours later, and jerky.
Jerky. And it was good.
It was so good.
That was quite good.
I am all about jerky.
I am always hesitant to buy jerky in the store. It's usually expensive, usually full of preservatives.
It's really expensive.
Even though it says it's not, you get like a little strip of it for like $7 or something. It's like, how is this?
Like half the ingredients in that are like sulfates and words that start with
Don't even
phosphates.
Go into what a Slim Jim is. Ooh, yeah, that's terrible.
It's not even...
There's so many things in it.
After making and eating this jerky, Slim Jims are genuinely scary because they're, like, soft in the middle.
Yeah, they shouldn't
and, like,
be, right?
Shredded.
They also have, like, a casing.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat Slim Jims anymore.
What else are you excited to dehydrate now that you've got this?
I want to do chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do...
What about sausage? Is that a thing?
Ooh, chorizo. Mm-hmm. That would be yummers. I want to dehydrate everything. We've been dehydrating stuff. So we've had that dehydrator for the entirety that I've known husband. And we've used it once before to make, like, dehydrated strawberry, like, gummy things. And that's it. But now that I've been making stuff for honeymoon, backpacking thing, dehydrating stuff, like vegetables and fruit, and this now, I can dehydrate everything.
Mm-hmm. Make your own craisins, make your own raisins.
Ooh.
Make your own...
Sun-dried tomatoes.
Sun-dried tomatoes has got to have... I wonder what there are some, like, crazy things that could be better dehydrated. I've never had, like, an eggplant or, like, garlic. What would a dehydrated piece of garlic taste like? Would that
probably
even
really
be anything?
Strong.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
You
I really
want to
do... I want to do fish. I want to do fish jerky so bad.
Oh, my gosh. Fish jerky is incredible.
It's so good.
And you can just put a raw piece of meat in there?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
The dehydrator we have, it tells you if you want, if you're doing meat or fish or chicken, you just set it to that.
That's incredible.
Vegetables this, herbs this. I can dehydrate all my herbs in my herb garden.
Yeah.
I can dehydrate
You can make your own
lavender.
Basil. You can dehydrate a red pepper, make crushed red pepper.
What? Girl, this is great.
If you have a kitchen gadget you would like to use and haven't, hashtag kitchen gadget it.
Gadget it.
Let us know.
Gadget.
What's your gadget adding? Because people gadget at it.
If you mail Brad or I a kitchen gadget.
We'll try it.
We'll try it.
I'll try a slap chop.
I have a slap chop.
A GD? Is that the thing that turns vegetables into spaghetti?
He is the character from Dragon Ball Z that turns blonde.
That's Vegeta.
That's basically what you said. Oh, the veggie spiraler.
Mm-hmm.
My dad has that too. My dad buys all that made on TV stuff. They don't really work.
I want to try dehydrated potatoes. I want to try dehydrated carrots.
I have potatoes I need to use before I leave.
Oh boy.
Let's do it.
World's our oyster.
Ooh, oysters. That'd be gross.
Yeah, that'd be not great. What's something... that I would love dehydrated.
Pizza.
Fully cooked slice of pizza. I want to order like a Domino's pizza and dehydrate it and see what would happen.
That can be the Does It Pizza for the week. We'll do Does It Pizza Dehydrated.
We'll go get a slice of pizza somehow from a gas station or a store and then do it up.
There's a pizzeria right down the street that is stuck in time. Like it has a pinball machine and a jukebox and always is playing like NFL draft.
Jacqueline, if this is your way of pitching me to go in with you to buy this place, you have got me hook, line, and pizza.
boom. Be the only place in town with dehydrated pizza.
So, Jacqueline, what do you give the Cat's Homemade Beef Jerky?
4.5 stars
for me. The Cat's Homemade Beef Jerky, welcome to the Top Rope Chef Hall of Fame. Asterix, you do need a dehydrator to make this thing work. Is this the only kitchen appliance recipe in the book?
No, have a couple of ice cream maker ones coming up.
Oh, no.
I think we're doing those the same episode because it's Stone Cold and his ex-wife.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can make ice cream without one of those machines. You just have to use a really cold bowl. So we'll figure it out.
Or you'll just have to come back and visit me.
We'll make it work. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back talking about Jerry Lawler's Fit for King low-fat chicken gumbo.
The world heavyweight champion, Jerry Lawler, and chief cheerleader, Jimmy Hart. Showing off the belt. Jerry, get you over here. Walk around on your own time, as the old saying goes.
I ask you a question here, real quick.
Go right ahead.
Who gives out the tickets to these airheads that come in here?
They come out through the wrestling.
Now, I know how you do it. I can tell right now. This is the most despicable looking bunch of derelicts that I've ever seen. What you give out the tickets? What do? Go down to 3rd and Vance early Saturday morning and give out a ticket to everybody that's waiting there on the street corner? Is that what you do? I can tell by looking at them, man.
Well. I didn't know what I called you out here to talk about.
I know
about.
What you call me out here to talk about, and I got some things I want to talk about. So you just stand there and do what you do best, and that's hold on to that microphone.
And we're back drinking more wine because we're talking about Jerry Lawler and his sad life.
Second recipe in this book that we've done.
I think it's his last.
His chicken a la king was far from delicious. It may have been one of the worst things in the book.
No.
It was bad.
That's a bold claim.
It is a bold claim. It's definitely in the bottom five.
Well, the a la king I made was delicious.
Well, you did not make it as per recipe.
It had nothing to do with this book at all.
That may be what the challenge is, because at the end of the book, we are going to cook each other's most rating discrepancy recipe for each other. Jacqueline's recipe that she gave the highest and I gave the worst, and then vice versa.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if we can change the other person's mind.
Can I talk about what you already did today?
What did I?
Should we wait? Let's wait for the after show. This is a little teaser. A little sneak peek.
It's the first time you've ever hung onto a cliffhanger. You always just blurt it out.
I'm trying to be better. It's the first time I've ever admitted I'm wrong.
Oh boy, Jerry Lawler. We got into a lot in the last episode, and we're probably gonna retread some space here, because we just forgot what we talked about really the first time, because we're bad at, you know, listening and remembering what we used to talk about. Good. Trying to get me real twisted.
He's got great outfits.
Jerry Lawler. We talked about Andy Kaufman.
Did
we talk a lot about this Memphis wrestling? If not, I'll go to that. I'll start with that first.
Nobody who listens to this podcast knows anything about wrestling, I'm pretty sure.
So a little bit of history of what Memphis wrestling was. It was a late 80s, early 90s television show in Memphis, as it was. And it was mostly interviews and talking. There was actually very little wrestling on it.
Isn't that like TNA now?
No, TNA has a lot of wrestling.
Oh, damn it. That was the wrong one.
There's no wrestling promotion now that's mostly just like interviews and like backstage segments.
Oh.
But all of it's like a lot of hype. It's almost like a talk show where wrestlers would just come out and just like blow 8 minutes of time talking about something just to fill airspace. They filmed it in a little tiny studio in Memphis. They filmed at the same place every week. It was like bleachers. You could maybe fit like 100 people, if that, into the space. They had maybe like 3 cameras. It was almost set up like a sitcom. They would have announcers just talk to the wrestlers, and the wrestlers would threaten each other and make big claims. And Jerry Lawler was one of the best at talking,
Yeah.
And one of the best Memphis wrestlers. And that's kind of how he got his claim. And that's just how he got his bread buttered, was with talking. Became an announcer in WWE. He was put a microphone in front of this guy, and he'll just jabber about whatever, who's usually very entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like something I would watch now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. It sounds like exactly what I watch.
It's a lost art of talking and selling a match just on your words alone and not building to anything like physically. Very good about keeping wrestlers apart. And when they finally did have matches, it was a big deal.
I mean, that was a little bit in the Attitude Era as well.
Yeah, they'd have some filler like undercard matches, but it would be rare to get like a Stone Cold match on television. What changed everything was when WCW started putting main events on their regular television show instead of just on their pay-per-views. And that forced WWE's hand to also put main event pay-per-view matches at the end of their show. So that was the big change. Wrestling used to be a time where it was very rare to see the person that was popular do anything physical on the television. You had to pay for that privilege, pay-per-view, to watch Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, the big wrestler, Stone Cold, Bret Hart, to see them do their thing.
Good for WCW.
It was actually a big controversy because they just did, like, it was harder to write television when you blew all your big matches on your free TV. It's harder to get people to buy pay-per-views when you were giving away that stuff for free.
Man up or get out of the kitchen.
That's Jacqueline's point of view.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add. I talked about his outfits. His outfits aren't as great anymore.
Mm-hmm. We talked about him kissing the foot of Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about his heart attack, I'm pretty sure.
You can talk about his lizard skin face.
Oh, what is that? What a dig. Why are you so... His son just died. Jacqueline.
I'm the heel. I can't help it.
Jacqueline No Filter Manor.
Jerky boy.
That's true, too.
I think we should just talk about the rest.
Okay, let's just dive right into that gumbo. Jerry Lawler's fit for a king low-fat chicken gumbo. To many folks in Memphis, Tennessee, Jerry Lawler is a bigger king than Elvis. From headlining solid events in the Mid-South Coliseum week after week to his infamous confrontation with the late comedian Andy Kaufman, he even played himself in Man on the Moon. The King has long been one of the sports entertainment's brightest stars and is certainly the favorite broadcast partner of yours truly. Not bad for a guy who makes a living shouting, "Puppies, puppies," on Raw. The Cat provided this recipe with conviction, it being one of the King's favorites. He's a very picky eater, so you know this one is very good. Now everything makes sense.
Does it?
He didn't come up with this recipe. His other one was his recipe. I'm spoiling what the future is holding. I'll just hold it back. Okay, let's just read the ingredients. Ingredients. 1 pound boneless, skinless chicken breast. 2 cans chicken broth. 1 bag cut frozen okra. 2 cans of Bush's green beans. 1 can corn. 1 can black-eyed peas, 1 tablespoon dried onion or 1 small chopped onion, 1/2 teaspoon garlic salt, 1 8-ounce can tomatoes chopped, optional, 2 cups of rice. 4 steps to this recipe. Step 1, place the chicken and chicken broth in a large pot. Add water to cover and cook for 30 minutes on medium-high heat. Remove the chicken to cool. Step 2, add the vegetable and seasonings to the pot, plus the undrained tomatoes, if desired. Step 3, cut the chicken into bite-sized pieces and add them to the pot. Cook over medium heat for 20 minutes. Step 4, in a separate pot, cook the rice, following the directions in the package. Stir the rice into the gumbo. Note, if you want soup instead of gumbo, use less rice. Makes 8 servings. Jacqueline, what do you think of Jerry Lawler's Fit for a King Little Fat Chicken Gumbo?
I thought it was amazing once you added more than 1/2 teaspoon of garlic salt. And a little bit of black pepper. Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was so good. It was bland.
I made it last night. I shredded the chicken just because that's how I prefer just to eat chicken and things like
that. Yeah, that was a good decision.
I used frozen corn instead of a can of corn because I don't like cans of corn as per described. And everything else was as the recipe desired.
Did you use on brand?
I didn't buy Bush's green beans.
I've never seen Bush's do anything but those baked beans. Yeah, like 12 flavors of baked beans.
I'm trying to get rid of the stuff in my cabinet because I'm moving next week. So I just have that can in
there. You're moving next week?
Yeah.
Talk about dropping bombs.
It's just like down the street from where I live now.
Oh.
It's not like to New York City or something.
Can't bring canned Memphis, food. Tennessee. Did you use canned tomatoes?
I did.
It was just really good. It was full of vegetables.
Yeah. Okra. Now, how about that?
Okra's so good.
It's tasty.
I love okra.
I've heard people say it's slimy.
Yeah. We were talking about that. I have never had it slimy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like one of those texture things that can screw people up, I think.
I think so. I mean, it's really good fried.
And black-eyed peas, you don't mind? Over, like, kidney beans or black beans or something?
Kidney beans are my mortal enemy. Mm-hmm. Black-eyed peas, I can take it or leave it.
They kind of just were in the background. They were a texture, yeah. And they were fine.
I didn't notice them in there at all. Yeah,
the green beans were really... I mean, you use two cans of these things.
The green beans are good.
They're taking over the show.
Did you use canned or frozen?
Canned.
Oh, okay. You could use frozen, too.
Yeah, I'm sure I could. But I had the cans. Gotta get rid of them cans. Maybe could have used a little more onion. And, yeah. I mean, you definitely got to dump the garlic, salt, and pepper into this thing.
Yeah. Half a teaspoon.
No, it doesn't even taste it. You got a pound of chicken in here.
2 cups of rice. 2 cans of green beans. A whole can of tomatoes. Like, that's just going to get buried.
I'm beginning to think that spices are more preferences. Yeah. And maybe shouldn't even have, like, amounts to put in. Like, put this recipe saying, like, garlic salt. And it's kind of up to you to put in the amount that you want. Maybe that's how recipes should be in a book should be, unless it's like really exact. I mean, because everyone's tastes are, you know, a little different. I always like heaping things, heaping teaspoons, heaping tablespoons.
For savory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Baking is different.
Yeah, for baking something. Yeah, specifically spices.
Yeah. No, I thought this recipe was great. Just more garlic salt. Oh, and we added black pepper. That was necessary also. Yeah.
I was saying, because his other recipe was so bad, because he probably made it, the cat made this one. This is the cat's recipe still.
Oh, because her last recipe was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cat provided this recipe, Jacqueline.
Wait, so why does he get credit for her work?
This is what I'm saying.
You know what? I'm done with him.
We did double cat duty tonight.
We did, except he got credit for not doing anything.
I'm feeling bad about this. I don't want to give this recipe a good score. Because I want to give the cat a good score.
I say that we count it as the cat's recipe.
It has to be. I would scratch this baby out and write the cat's fit for a king, low-fat chicken gumbo. And now that I say it out loud, it's creepy that because I see her in a kitchen making it for him. And she's...
probably, like, naked, like, doing cat things. Poof.
Now I just cat can't ears? Keep it. No. She did wear cat ears. That was a thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Back before that was even, like, a thing people did.
I see now people have, shopping in the stores now that wear cat ears.
They have headphones with little cat ears built into them.
My coworker wears those at work. A little weird. Huh. So what do you give the cats, Fit for a King, low-fat chicken gumbo?
As with every single kind of, like, soup recipe in this book,
yeah,
it's just outstanding.
The soups are, that's where the vegetables are at. That's where the nutrition is at, is soups.
4.25 stars.
I'm going to give it 4.5.
The cats, Fit for a King, low-fat chicken gumbo. Welcome to the Top Rope Chef Hall of Fame.
She has
two Hall of Fame recipes in here. Shit,
we might end up giving her a title. You know what? She deserves the title for food. Not going to say for wrestling, but for food.
Hey, maybe we'll get At The Cat. We'd love to talk about you and, like, give us some more recipes to cook.
And ignore cat, what I said Stacey about Carter. You earlier in this episode.
Oh, Jacqueline, you really dig yourself a hole.
I'm digging us both a hole. You better cut that out.
What am I? That'd be like the whole episode. I can't cut out anything. Thank you for joining us on this double Hall of Fame recipe episode. Find us at social media, twitter.com/TopRopeChef, facebook.com/TopRopeChef. If you feel the need to give monthly patreon.com/topropechef. Get access to episodes you can't get on a normal feed.
If you would like Brad's address to send
Brad's address?
To send him.
I'll get a P.O. box if something's going to happen.
To send him kitchen gadgets for us to test out. Shoot us an email at topropechef@gmail.com.
I thought you were going to give your own email address so you could interfere with them. I'll get those before you do, I hope. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.
Bye.